number of obese people in the U.S. has increased from 13% to a staggering 31% at this moment of time. That was September the 15th of 07. More than 60% of Americans are overweight, with a body mass index hovering over 25. Furthermore, more than 30% of U.S. people are obese, with a body mass index in the region of 30. Even worse, childhood obesity is also increasing quite rapidly in the U.S. If the same sort of pattern continues, there's a strong possibility that at least one-third of U.S. adults will be obese by 2020. And I don't think we have... I'm just going to go to the extreme, okay? So we're going over as far as we can go, and hopefully it picks up everybody all the way in between. So it really is going to be more getting in shape, to whether it's losing weight or whatever the case may be, but it's mostly going to be focused more on the idea of losing weight. I don't know how many of y'all have seen the TV show The Biggest Loser? I don't know if y'all have seen that or not. I think I've seen it twice, and they had it, it was about a month ago, and it was right at the end of the season, and they had two people. They get a group of people, and of course they vote them off and all that, and you try to lose as much weight as possible. They put temptations out for them, see if you can pass that, and if so, within about 15 weeks, the guy, he set a record for losing the most on the show. I think it was 164 pounds. And the woman, this was the first time a woman had won, and she lost, I think, somewhere around 100, 112 pounds. So that got me thinking about my subject. So anyway, and I was talking, I think it was Ray, I've heard it from other people, but when the Bible talks about fat, it's usually speaking of good, where it talks about that, you know, that we'll be fat. But there's at least 14 different meanings for fat, so I just steer clear of all of that. But just some of the meanings: fat, it means fat, the choicest part, to be thick or stupid, well-fed, fat or plump, to anoint, ashes, rich, fertile, to shine, oily, grease, oil, lusty, plenteous, stall-fed, causing to drink, well-watered, strengthened, armed, army, deliver, and to spread. So it's like, well, you know, let's push all that aside. That's really not what I'm trying to get to. But I think the Bible does address that we need to look after ourselves and be healthy. And 1 Corinthians, y'all are familiar with these verses, 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I'm also, you're probably very well aware of 1 Timothy 4, 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So in light of eternity, bodily exercise doesn't profit a whole lot. But as far as for the here and now, there is some profit to it. And I think one of the things, you know, some of the profits that is we feel better. We're in better shape. We're more healthy. We have less aches and pains and ailments and sickness just from our poor eating habits and being overweight. And our bodies are, the Lord has made our bodies very marvelous, and they can endure a lot more than we think that they can most of the time. But when we constantly put them under the excess weight and load them down, they start breaking down over time. Another thing I've gotten with the statistics was being obese increases your risk of diabetes, heart disease, stroke, arthritis, and some cancers. If you're obese, losing even 5 to 10% of your weight can delay or even prevent some of these diseases. And God created our bodies to require exercise. If you look at pretty much most of the animals, but if you look at the ones that hibernate, They can go in and hibernate. They come back out and they've lost no muscle mass. We can be laid up for a short period of time and we lose muscle mass. So he created us. We have to keep moving. He didn't want us to be lazy. And work is part of that. And work was not part of the curse. The ground was cursed, and we're going to earn bread by the sweat of our brow, but work wasn't part of the curse. But my main concern for Christians was that losing weight and being in shape, I think we bring, if not losing weight and not being in shape, we bring unnecessary problems on ourselves. As we mentioned, overweight causes lots of problems, but how many prayer requests would we eliminate if we were all a decent weight and healthy and in shape? And more importantly, how much can we do for the Lord? We'd feel better, we could do more, and we could serve the Lord better. And then as we get older, we would cause ourselves less problems also. But unfortunately, the junk food we've consumed through the years come back to haunt us. And I love sweets as much as anybody else. And a few of y'all have seen how much I could put away, and I can hang in there with Ray pretty good, so I can put a lot of food away, and it's good. But remember what Proverbs said. Solomon said, "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently." Consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man given to appetite, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. If you go back and look at some of those consider diligently. Is to separate mentally, understand, consider, have intelligence, be prudent, and think. And a man given to appetite is a breathing creature, appetite, beast, or greedy. And not to be desirous of his dainties or as a delicacy, it's a dainty meat. And if you think about it a lot, and if you look at a lot of foreign countries, they don't eat a lot of meat. It's more vegetables and stuff that they eat, and a lot of times they only eat once or twice a day at the most. And then if you look at it, it's deceitful, it's falsehood, literally or figuratively, an idol, deceitful, false, liar, or lying. So that brings things a little bit more into perspective when we get all that food in front of us and want to dig into it. That's going to kind of run through a list of things that y'all have heard. I think we've all at some point tried to lose weight, tried to get in shape or whatever, so that's kind of going to be more my focus. But anyway, I think the first thing, and again, I'm leaning more towards the extreme. A lot of this, I know some of this for me, it doesn't necessarily apply, but I know when they talk about like on that show where these people are really obese and they lose 100 pounds, some of these things really come into play. So, you know, we need to analyze the situation. How did I get in this kind of shape to begin with? You know, as far as I remember, when I was working at UES, and you would see guys come in, they're just out of school, and they're pretty thin, they've been active. They would come in within months. You just see them start gaining weight. And what happens? We become sedentary, we're just sitting around, and we keep on eating just like we did before, but our bodies are slowed down, but we haven't slowed down. So we develop bad habits. We eat junk food, sweets. Some people eat because it's a comfort food or because of stress. And so there's a lot of different reasons. We need to see, you know, what is our problem? And then we need to make some plans to take care of it. We need to change the lifestyle. The weight's not the real problem. It's a symptom. So we need to take care of the changing our lifestyle. We need new habits to replace our old habits that caused the problem to begin with. So, again, here's some suggestions. We can change your schedule to accommodate the new lifestyle that you want. Get up earlier and make time for exercise. Stop eating after 7. Go to bed earlier because you need plenty of rest. And then, of course, your diet. We need quality nutrition is just as important as exercise. And a lot of people, they tell you to drink a lot more. Talk to some guys. He lost 100 pounds and still needed to lose some more. And he was saying drinking a lot of water. He was drinking close to a gallon a day. Said it really flushes fat and stuff out. So drinking lots of water, cut out, you know, soft drinks and teas. It's got white sugar and stuff in it. Get rid of your junk food, eat smaller amounts, but they say to eat more often because it keeps your metabolism going. So that's another thing that you kind of want to work on. But you need to plan out what you're going to be eating for the upcoming week. What am I going to be doing? Because if you don't make any plans, you're going to be right back where you was before. And then exercise. We want to begin an exercise program. You want some sort of aerobic exercise to get your heart rate up, some resistance training. And you need to, again, a suggestion is to plan what you're going to do beforehand. You know, you start walking, you don't have to start out running a mile. You start walking, you start doing what you can do to begin with. And then find support. Find some encouragement from somebody who's done it, somebody who's lost weight, and you can get encouragement from them. And then you want to set goals. What's your ultimate goal? What is it I want to look like? Of course, you got to be realistic. We don't want you setting up the Hollywood model or anything. We all have different body types, and that's not really realistic. So get a goal in mind and then set small goals so that you can achieve the larger goal. And give yourself something to look forward to and reward yourself as you make some progress. But keep the main goal in focus, and the little goals help you keep you from getting discouraged. In Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. When I saw the that show, The Biggest Loser, that was the verse that came to mind, was Hebrews 12:1. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. I know a lot of people have on their minds to get in shape and lose weight, but my thoughts were leaning more towards the spiritual. And I think there's a relation between the two. I think you see it a lot more between fasting and sin, the comparison. Because with fasting, you're putting off the flesh and putting away food. And a lot of times you're hungry, but you're not really hungry. It's the whole thought of it. Because you start thinking about it, so I'm not really hungry, I just want it. I see it, I can smell it, I want it. And sin, I think, is the same way. As we see it, we don't have to have it, but we want it, we desire it, and there's where the problem comes in. It's whether we turn away from it or not. A lot of people have talked about, recently, I keep hearing more and more about the return of Christ, which is a great thing and something to look forward to. But the question is, are we really ready? Because, yes, Christ comes back and we go to heaven, but we have the judgment seat of Christ to go through. And as we think about the judgment seat of Christ, you can think a little bit of it like a job evaluation. Because we're stewards. What kind of steward have you been? Have you been doing a good job? Have you been doing your best? Have you fought a good fight so far? Are you staying in the course? When we look at, when we think about losing weight and we think about the endurance, the determination you've got to have, because we don't want to get up, we don't want to go exercise, we don't want to put that effort out. It's much easier to sit back down and get another bowl of ice cream. It's the same way with the spiritual life. It's much easier to go with the flow and to not endure hardness as with the soldiers. Albert Barnes said in his commentary, he's talking about the soldiers, taken from their homes and friends, exposed to cold or heat or storms or fatiguing marches, sustained on coarse fare or almost destitute of food, they are often compelled to endure as much as the human frame can bear and often indeed sink under their burdens and die. If for reward or the country's sake they are willing to do this, the soldier of the cross should be willing to do it for his Savior's sake and for the good of the human race. Hence, let no man seek the office of ministry as a place of ease. Let no one come into it merely to enjoy himself. Let no one enter it who is not prepared to lead a soldier's life and to welcome hardship, trial as his portion. He would make a bad soldier who is at his enlistment should make it a condition that he should be permitted to sleep on a bed of down and always be well clothed and fed and never exposed to peril or compelled to pursue a wearisome march. And I think we see some of that in the ones in the games, the Olympics, and the farmer. And then also Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And again, this all requires discipline. And we're in a war. We're in a spiritual war, and there are souls to be won. So what am I doing getting comfortable and seeking after the American dream? I think as the Christian American dream is to get a house, have a good, maybe a little bit of land, have a good job, be successful, and make some money so that I can give it to the missionaries and to the church. We want to give out of our abundance. But if you remember, the Lord said about the widow giving her mite that she gave out of her poverty. We're pilgrims. We're not supposed to be getting comfortable here. It's not a place for us to get comfortable. We're supposed to keep moving. We're traveling through. When I look at my own life, I see I got a lot of weight, a lot of fat I need to get rid of. And again, that's what got me thinking about the message. I've been eating a lot. The junk food of the world, the pleasures of the world, satisfying self and getting fat and having a hard time reaching the finish line. The finish line isn't salvation. You wouldn't be in the race if you weren't saved. But the finish line is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we need to be pushing on, but we don't want to get up and run because, as you know, when you gain weight, you don't want to go out and run a marathon. We want to sit back down and lounge, and that's not what we need to be doing. There's a war going on, and as Howard Hendricks said, there are two things that will last for eternity, God's Word and people, so we need to be getting God's Word into people. So who am I praying for? Who am I witnessing to? What am I doing to get the gospel out? Flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And in verse 10, and God is talking to the Israelites. Moses is reminding them, and he says in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold are multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might test thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do it at all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve him, and worship him, I testify against you this day, ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord. in times of hardship, we turn to the Lord and we trust Him. But when we're well-fed and we're full and living in houses with goodly things around us, then we forget the Lord and we turn from Him. So if I've gotten caught up in various sins, selfishness, pride, the pleasures of this world, been sidetracked by various things of the world, my spiritual life has gotten stale, stagnant. I come to church, but I've just become mediocre, lukewarm. I know there is more to the Christian life than Sunday morning and Wednesday night. I want to be an effective Christian. Effective Christian, one that God can use. I've lost my first love. How do I get it back? How do I get back on track and get moving again? And again, as I talked about the first time, we're going over to the extreme, and I think we can all find our place in between. Unfortunately, this is the normal for most Christians. And I think it's even more susceptible for the ones that saved at a younger age to fall into. Well, I won't have you turn to them, but if you look in 1 Kings, and if you look at the kings, the different kings, when Israel has fallen away from God, and you will find different kings, and they did right in the eyes of the Lord. But you'll see, like with Asa, said, but the high places were not removed. Jehoshaphat, nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. And then Amaziah, saved that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And so just because God's judgment's not coming on us right now, or we don't feel like He's wearing us out, chastening us, we need to remember Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. So because of His goodness to us, we still need to recognize, I've got these things that are in my life I need to get rid of, I need to lose them. So at least with my problem, is a lack of willpower. And just Webster says, the will is the power of the mind to decide and do, deliberate control over thought and action, the act of choosing to do something, sometimes including also deliberation that precedes making the choice. But what I do have is self-will, an insistence on having one's own way, obstinacy, objecting to do what others ask or command. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, 13 and 8 through 18. So as I look at myself, I see these areas that I'm using as overweight. I need to lose this weight and get myself back into shape. And again, as you see, I'm trying to use the physical comparing with the spiritual. That's what I'm going to do right here also. So, Ephesians 6, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In the physical life, as we begin to gain weight, it usually starts in the stomach. So as we begin to stretch the truth, and we tell lies to ourselves, and we say, you know, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to do it this one time. Nobody else is going to know. So as our belly starts to grow, we have to go to a larger shirt. So due to our lies and doing our own will, we lose the breastplate of righteousness. And as we continue to fatten up, we can no longer see our feet, so we're no longer prepared to share the gospel of peace. And now we've become lazy, and our shield of faith becomes cumbersome. The sword is now used to defend our actions instead of defending us from the devil and his temptations. And we no longer stand, we lounge and enjoy the pleasures that we've fallen into, and our prayers no longer seem to make it past the ceiling. So what do we need to do? Josiah said, it says about Josiah in 2 Kings 23, Let me turn to it. Second Kings 23 and verse 2. And the king went up unto the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. So going back to what we talked about with losing weight physically, we need to analyze our situation. How did we get in the kind of shape that we're in now? Is it because we became sedentary, sitting around, pew warmers? Is that part of the problem? Poor judgments and choices, hurts and pains of the past, the sparkles and glitter of sin. It looks good. It tastes good. Just like junk food. It's like a good old Krispy Kreme donuts. It looks good and it tastes good, and so we thought we would take it. Fish thought the same thing until he found the hook. But we need to make a plan and get out. Acts 2:42 is the basis, beginning back to the basics of what we need. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, God's word, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And going back to what we talked about with losing weight, we need to change a change of lifestyle. The weight's not the problem, it's the symptom. So we got to deal with the problem that got us here to begin with. So we need new habits to replace the old ones. We need to change our schedule to accommodate the new lifestyle that we want, to follow God, to honor Him. So first of all, we need a diet change. We need God's Word. And I've got quite a few verses. I'm going to just read through a lot of them instead of turning to them. But we need God's Word for daily growth. In Deuteronomy 8:3, the last part of it says that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Psalm 119:105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we need to get back to God's word. We need to get back to reading it so we know where we're going, and we know as far as following him, we know what he wants us to do. We not only need to read it, we need to memorize it. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we need to memorize God's word. It keeps us from sin. But we need to also meditate on it. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 63:6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And there are numerous other verses of meditation that we need to meditate on God's word. And again, we need a change of lifestyle. We need a change of a schedule. Get up early. Make time for God first. And we need to go to bed early. Get plenty of rest. I think it was Spurgeon that said that a lot of sin comes from a lack of sleep. Because you think about it, when you start getting tired and sleepy, we're a lot more snappy at people than when we have rest. And of course, he said it causes other problems also. But another good thing is to consider that your day starts when it starts getting dark. That's the way the Hebrews kept time. If you notice through the Bible, God starts with dark and he goes to light. Man goes from light and he starts with light and goes to dark. But the Hebrews, they started their day at dusk. And I've noticed if I don't look at movies on Saturday nights. I used to. But when whatever you do the night before, you come to worship service in the morning, that's what your mind's going to be on. If I look at a movie, that's what I'm going to be thinking about. So I don't look at movies anymore, not on Saturday nights. All right, we talked about we need a diet. We need to read God's Word, meditate on God's Word, and memorize God's Word. And we need some exercise. And I think worship is what we need most of all. We need to realize who God is, that He is God alone. He's the creator of the universe, the Almighty, all-powerful King of Kings. We need to realize who we are, a wretched sinner deserving hell. And then we need to realize what God has done for us through His Son. And as Ben's mentioned here before, is just agree with God what He thinks of His Son. And we need to realize the fear of the Lord. And I think that's a big thing that keeps us from sin. In Job 28:28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. And there's numerous verses on the fear of the Lord. I'm going to give you a few more. Some of the things about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And most of those are found in Proverbs. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So how do we get to fear the Lord? Because as we gain weight and we progress in sin, we have gone away from the Lord, we lose that fear of the Lord. And I think being in a free country, we have a little harder time, at least I do, of grasping the fear of the Lord, because when somebody says something, we immediately want to, it's my rights, and we're gonna jump up and say, yeah, go ahead and try it. And, you know, we've got our things that we're not used to somebody coming up and saying, hey, this is it. I'm the king. This is the way it's going to be done. If you don't, your head's off. We're not used to that sort of thing. And so I think we have a little bit harder concept in understanding the fear of the Lord. So where do we get it? Deuteronomy 4:10. And I will make them hear my words, and that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. Deuteronomy 17:18-19. And it shall be when, this is talking about the king, once he is on the throne, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Deuteronomy 28:58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. So we get the fear of the Lord from reading his word. When we get that idea, we understand who God is, realize who we are and the power of God and what we deserve. So we need to worship Him, to fear Him, and we also, for exercise, we need to obey God's word. Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. And then 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and hearken than the fat of lambs. And then Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 15:13-14, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So to get rid of sin and to get rid of the fat, we need to exercise and we need to obey God's word. We also need to witness. We know as Christ gave what we call the Great Commandment, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then also, for exercise, we need to control our thoughts. That's usually where the sin starts to begin with. And 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all obedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we need to obey God's word. We need to bring our thoughts into control to Christ, to the obedience of Christ. And another thing is to listen to good music. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And also Colossians 3:16, which is similar, exhorts us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we need, those are some of the things we need to do for exercise, but we also need to pray. We need to spend time in prayer. And again, I mentioned that as we look more to the extreme of where someone may be at, we need to pray, obviously, for ourselves, for strength and encouragement to get back where the Lord wants us to be at. We need to pray what we've read in God's Word and ask for understanding and insight, conviction, and closer relationship with the Lord. And we need to pray for others, because one of the things with sin is it's all about me. It becomes a focus on self. And if we pray for others and the problems they're having, it takes that off, the focus off of ourselves, and puts it on others, which Christ has told us to do. We are to love others and pray for them. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And then James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we need to spend time in prayer. And then the last thing on those basics was fellowship. We need to show up to all the meetings. You will be an encouragement to others, and they'll be an encouragement to you. Hebrews 10:22-25. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we're to be here to exhort one another and to provoke each other to love and to good works. And then we can also, as we've tried to get rid of sin in our lives, we can find someone that can help us along the way, an encourager, a Barnabas, to help us along. And then we can also turn to other people who have been in similar situations, whether we know them, it can be a book or something else, where we've seen those people who have been brought back to a more devout lifestyle to Christ. And then also we need to set goals. And so what does this new lifestyle look like? Obviously, the ultimate goal is to be like Christ. But we need to be, again, we need to set goals and be realistic. Because if we wander way off of the path, we're not going to get back there overnight. It's going to take some time. We didn't get there overnight. We're not going to get back overnight. So we need to be realistic, and we got to expect failures to come. They're going to happen. Fell into it before, you're going to slip backwards, but we got to keep going. And remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And we need to set some small goals and work on those. We can memorize portions of Scripture. In Ephesians 4 and 5 and Colossians 3, Paul gives us a list of do's and don'ts. Put these things off, put these things on. And we can start working on that in our spiritual life. And it's just like with the losing weight. These are the things I'm not going to eat. These are the things I can eat. This is the healthy lifestyle. Then we can love the brethren, the fruits of the Spirit, and be thankful. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and in the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Colossians 3:17, Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. One of the biggest things is priorities. Put Jesus Christ first in His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. One of the things, as we think about as far as represent with food, once you start on the junk food, and junk food, is it tastes good. And the Lord said, taste of Him and see that He is good. But when we first start back, it might be a little bitter because it's not going to taste quite what we thought it was because it's going to be conviction there. But that doesn't mean we need to quit, because when you eat some of that health food, you're thinking, man, this stuff is nasty. But as you eat it and you start finding other things that you like, we have to be persistent because we know what the end result is. The Bible tells us that there is pleasure in sin. The problem is there's death in sin. That's the result of it. Hopefully, you can see some of the similarities between losing weight physically and, as I was describing, trying to lose weight spiritually. And it's one of those things, even if you're just trying to get in shape, say, I may not need to lose that much weight, but I think I need to be in better shape. It's the same with the spiritual. For some reason, we can get out here, and I can go and run or jog or bike or whatever, and I've got, you know, if I'm going to run a mile, and, you know, I'm getting in, so you're just about ready to give out. But I keep pushing. I know where I'm going this far, and I've got it in the back of my mind. You know what you want to do. You know what you're trying to achieve. But when it comes to the spiritual end of it, we keep thinking it's supposed to be easy. And it's not. It's the same way. You've got to have that willpower. You've got to have that focus on Christ, and you've got to keep pushing, and you've got to keep striving. It's a battle. It's hard work. But we've got to persevere and keep going. We've got a race to run, so we need to go for the gold.